It says in verse 17, but when he came to himself, somebody say, come to himself. That means he woke up. I think we need a great awakening in America. I think there are a lot of black backslidden people in the body of Christ that need to be woken up. They've compromised, amen, their faith. They're not where they were before. And you can look at the different denominations and see how far they are from the truth, from the Word of God, how they've compromised. And I've heard, you know, different preachers to where, you know, well, the gospel is, you know, it just like the Constitution, you know, it's a living thing, and it changes, you know, with society and all the rest. And the main thing is love and judge not and all the rest. Well, true. You know, we're not to judge. That's a very powerful principle. I won't get into it. But, you know, this morning, but that whole thing about love is real. But if you really love people and you believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, amen. How much can you love somebody, amen, if you won't tell them the truth? You won't tell them the truth. Well, we don't want to offend them. I don't want to put them off with my religion. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a life-giving relationship here. Hallelujah. And, you know, isn't it a selfish thing, amen, not to share the most precious gift or treasure that God has ever given us, which was His Son. Hallelujah. I want to stir you up to evangelism this morning. I want to stir you up to the place to where, wait a second, I got to tell somebody. I want to stir you up to the place that it's not something you got to do, but it's something you have to do because there's a fire that's been set in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. God would have you either be hot or cold. Hallelujah. But not lukewarm. And that word from Kent Christmas, he went over that to where he said, the Lord's going to start to spew people out of his mouth. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be red hot on fire for God. You know, I talked about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and I talked about the tabernacle. But once that fire's lit, it's the ministry. It's your responsibility that God made us kings and priests unto God our Father. Right? Out of Revelation, Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood and made us what? Kings and priests. Amen. Unto God, our Father. See, we're kings and priests. Kings speaking about dominion, taking dominion. Hallelujah. And kingdom authority and all the rest. But the priesthood ministry, that's ministering to the Lord. That's ministering upwardly. Amen. And receiving, amen, orders from heaven that we might execute, amen, kingdom authority in the earth. Amen. Bringing Christ alive by being part of His body. Come on, somebody praise Him. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, right now I'm casting out devils. I am, you know. It's with His Word. I'm breaking down some mindsets, some strongholds. Hallelujah. I want you to help me preach this morning, because what it is here, it's not just to those that are here is in this room, but it's into the powers and the principalities. In Jesus' name, I'm going to tell you this. I felt this earlier during the offering. But in Jesus' name, there's a spirit of poverty that has invaded this whole entire region because of the manufacturing and all that. But I declare unto you right now, it's time to invest in God's kingdom. I declare this is it. The best, it's not going to be Bitcoin. And no matter what the stock market's doing, invest right now in the kingdom of God, because God wants to decimate a spirit of poverty. He wants to go ahead and start to raise up some people with new inventions and new ideas. Hallelujah. He wants to start to release, amen, an entrepreneurial spirit, amen, on His people, a fresh creativity, hallelujah, new ideas, new inventions, hallelujah, that you can definitely be a part of. God says to invest in His kingdom, hallelujah, and you'll have eternal rewards, but you'll also have a reward here, right now. I'm going to tell you something. Joe Crandall gave us a similar word in 1996 in Norfolk, Virginia, and he said this. He goes, listen, you've broken the back on the devil. You've broken his back, amen, in the spirit. But now God says to go and possess the land and literally buy up the land. Hallelujah. He said that. Some of me, the elders, including me, we bought land and bought houses that you couldn't buy or sell, and nobody wanted. Nobody would invest in Ocean View. And we did, and we overbuilt the community, and we started to invest in the community by building brand new houses, 3,000, 3,300 square foot houses. And we didn't have a lot of money, but we believed the Lord. And guess what? That property value went up 4 times, hallelujah, within a matter of 6 years. See, God knows, hallelujah, what's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you something. There's some real estate out here, and there's some property out here that's just laying around, hallelujah. And you better listen to God, but invest it, hallelujah, not for your own earnings, but for the kingdom of God, hallelujah. Listen, you're part of that kingdom. I'm telling you, God wants to prosper you. He wants to prosper. I'm not one of those prosperity preachers, but I'm going to tell you this, man. God has kept me. We're not super wealthy, but when I said, well, we are in Christ, but I said, I want to give $100,000 this year. Now, that sounds pretty crazy, doesn't it? But I'm telling you, I know if I'm going to give $100,000, God's got to lay $1 million on me. He's got to lay $1 million. And if not me, why not me? And if not now, why not now? Hello? Anything could happen. Hallelujah. Anything could happen. We got to, you know, start to just a dream, and we got to, I mean, just start to go for it and just start to believe. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to myself right now. I know that. I know that. My wife, no, I'm not normally like that, but I'm saying that by the word of the Lord, and I'll stand before the Lord on that. Hallelujah. It's time to invest. Time to invest. Hallelujah. Okay, so he comes to himself and he goes, how many of my father's hired servants? Now, those hired servants are tradesmen. Those are the guys that come in from the town. They take care of the horses. They take care of the herds. You know, they help with the different, you know, chores, the carpenters, the blacksmiths, all that. So this guy, it speaks, he had hired servants. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Well, here he is. You know, he had an inheritance. He's part of the family. But now he screwed up so bad. You know, I don't deserve to be part of the family anymore. I've dishonored, you know, my home, my family name. I've dishonored myself, you know. But, you know, maybe Dad will have mercy on me, and I can be a job cleaning out the stables, you know, or something along those lines. At least I won't starve to death. So he humbles himself, and he decides, I'm going home. He arose, he comes to his father, but he was still a great way off. His father saw him. Now, just look at this saw him thing. You see, this guy, wealthy man, and you got to say, he's probably got his robes on, and his servants are there, and we don't know how long this kid's been gone, but gone long enough, maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months, but a long way off. Something about the father's waiting. Something about the father's looking. Something about that father. You see, the father in heaven is looking for his sons and watching. Here he is, this great man who's just suffered this great humility, you know, or, you know, humiliation, so to speak, about his son. And here's the servants all around. We'll find out about the elder son in a moment. And he starts taking off across the field. He's pulling up his robe. And he's trotting, you know, and he's an old guy. And everybody's going, what's going on? Where's he going? Go after him, for crying out loud. And he's tromping through the field, probably stepping and God knows what. Hallelujah. And he comes up. And I mean, he says, so now the servants are all, you know, running after him. You got to picture this thing. This is, I mean, you know, a loving father that all of a sudden says, here's my son. Is that him? He's there. And he just, it doesn't look like him, but is that him? And he's headed like a beeline. The son made the initial step. I'm coming home. But daddy goes running after him. Daddy comes and he's just like, oh, could this possibly be, you know? And here he goes a great way off. His father saw him and had what? Compassion. Compassion. compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. His father falls. His father falls on his neck. He grabs him, just hugs him. This is a stinky kid that's been sitting with the pigs. Smelly, smelly, vile, betrayed me, you know. Took everything I had to work so hard for and just wasted it on things I told him not to do. And I couldn't stop him and I didn't stop him. But he's back now and I'm having mercy on him. Hallelujah. Falls down. And his son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. In your sight means not only in your sight, Daddy, but in the whole world. Everybody knows what I did. He is so stricken with shame. He is so, you know, ashamed of what he did. And there's people that are in the body that are still ashamed of what they did when they were in the world. And shame, amen, is crippling them and holding them back. A shame core holds people back to addictions, amen, from abandonment and rejection. The four marks of the Garden of Eden is shame and blame and fear and rejection, which all happened to Adam and Eve because of the initial fall. And each one of us deal with those situations at one point or another. But here, this kid is so full of shame and he's blaming himself. He's not blaming anybody else at this point, but he can't even forgive himself for what he did. Dad, I don't deserve. I can't take your love. I can't take anything from him. I just want to be back in the house and I'll do whatever. He's done. He's totally undone. I look at this and my heart breaks because there are kids that I believe want to come back to the body of Christ, but they don't know how to get back in. There are people that have backslidden and they don't know how to get back in. They had a walk with God, but something happened, a crisis or a catastrophe, and they've walked away, amen, from their inheritance, so to speak. And amen, maybe they squandered the blessing of the Lord. But you see, we've got to have that Father's heart, hallelujah, to embrace those and to forgive those and have mercy. So this Father has mercy, and this is the Father's heart. Bring out the best robe and put it on them. Whoa. He's going to cover him. He's going to, even with his stinky stuff on, get my best robe. Get the best robe out of the house. The best clothes. Let's dress this kid of who he is. Let's remind him who he is. He goes ahead and he takes a ring, that which is his ring. This is the symbol, the ring of authority. This is what, you know, when he went, it was like a signet ring. That when he went to buy something, he would put a stamp or a seal. Amen. And that was, you know, my name, my authority. He's saying, I'm going to give you back my authority. I'm going to give you back your place. I'm going to take you back right to where you were. I'm going to dress you some, and I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to give you my authority once again. Hallelujah. And then one more thing. I'm going to put new shoes on you. I'm going to give you a new walk. Hallelujah. You know, your feet might be stinky and all, but I'm going to put great sandals on you. And guess what? We're going to have a party, and we're going to celebrate, hallelujah, your homecoming. Come on. This is a big deal. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. This is a big deal. So they says, come on, kill the fatted calf, kill it and let us eat and be merry. And for this, my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and now he's found. And they began to make merry. Well, listen, this is killing the fatted calf. You know what that means? The whole town comes out. All the hired servants. In other words, all right, I'm bringing restoration to you and to our family. I'm calling everybody. All right. And we're going to put this shame away. We're going to take it all out. It's not going to be hidden. I'm going to receive you publicly. I'm going to receive you and bless you and openly reward you. And I'm going to have everybody from all around. And I mean, they can say whatever they want, but I'm going to show them that I love you unconditionally and it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. So here we are. Here's the big fatted calf. Here it is right here and right now. And it says, now his older son is in the field and he came and drew near to the house and heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and said, hey, what do all these things mean? He said to him, your brother has come, and because he's received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But what's the response of the elder son? Remember, he's talking to the Pharisees. Here's all these sinners. Here's all these people that Jesus is talking to that's going to come into the kingdom. But they're coming in a different way. Hallelujah. They're coming in kind of free here. Hallelujah. And they're not going to have to go through all the steps. They're not going to have to learn the entire Torah. They're not going to have to learn all the ceremonial washings and all the rest. But they're going to come into a life-giving relationship. I don't know if we like that. That's upsetting the status quo. And unfortunately, that's what's upsetting, amen, the church of God today. Because in this revival, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to come in that are going to stink and they're going to be unclean. And they're going to have devils and they're going to have demons. And they're going to be tatted up and they're going to have piercings where you shouldn't have piercings. And it's going to look ugly in many ways. But you see, it's our responsibility to be able to receive them as they are. As they are, and to love them as they are, and to feed them as they are, and to minister to them as they are, and let the Holy Ghost, amen, through the Word of God, bring conviction. But let us not be the ones that want to bring condemnation, because Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus. Us. Hallelujah. And we got to remember not only 3:16, but 3:17. Hallelujah. The world already is condemned, but through you, they might be saved if you'll tell them about Jesus. If you'll tell them, hallelujah, about salvation. If you'll tell them the love of God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, just raise your hands. Come on, we worship you, Lord, in this place this morning. Lord God, hallelujah. 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 Some people say, Pastor, why do you sweat so much? Because I'm telling you, I got a fire that's burning in my soul. Hallelujah. It can be 40 or 30 degrees out, but I'm telling you, the temperature's 150 on the inside. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, and sometimes this human flesh just sweats a little bit. Don't be offended. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't care how much water they put on me, I ain't going out. Hallelujah. I ain't going out. Hallelujah. So here's this older son. He's angry. He wouldn't go in. Therefore, the father came out and pleaded with him. Now, why do you think this son is angry? Take a guess. Why is he upset?
He's done everything right.
Well, he's done everything right. Yeah. What else? Huh? Pride. All that. That's all good. But jealousy, all that. True. But guess what? He's the older son. Now, the father had to divide up the livelihood, right? Had to divide it up. Well, the older son gets what? Double portion. The younger son, right, gets a lesser portion. So it's divided in three. He's got two parts, right? So it belongs to the rest of the inheritance. Dad's inheritance belongs to who? The older son, right? Whose robe was it that daddy put on the boy? Whose ring was it? Whose sandals was it? Whose fatted calf? Hello? You see, restoration costs something. Restoration costs the older son. Restoration is going to cost you. Restoration, when they come in, it's going to cost you something. And you might not like it. You might not like what it's going to do to that pretty church you got. You might not like it. Hallelujah. But you see, if we'll have the same response and the same heart of the Father, is this all right? Can you get this? I mean, it's a revelation, man. You got to get a hold of this. This is why this guy, he's got a right to be upset. Wait a second. This son of yours, he squandered everything. Amen. On riotous living. Now you're taking him back in front of the whole town and you're giving him my stuff. He's getting restored. What does that mean? He's getting another inheritance. He's restored as a son. That means like, hello, as if it never happened. As if it never happened. I'm being restored. He's full back. He's full inheritance. Uh-oh. And Jesus is talking about this. Why? So that we might learn a lesson. You see, there's this older son attitude that thinks that, we're more righteous than the person just coming in. Oh, I mean, I've been miffed in the early days of my ministry. I mean, I'd be praying for the sick and some people getting healed. And I see some guy just come off the street and, he's still drinking and, smoking cigarettes and all. And he starts praying for the sick. Everybody's getting healed. And I go, God, how can you use this guy? Come on, he's still unclean. He ain't sanctified. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. You probably had the same feelings. Come on now. Hallelujah. And I sat there. See, older son, wait a second. How come I can't move in that kind of anointing? You know, what is this? How can you use this guy? You know, well, I mean, I figured out how God was able to use me when I read, you know, about the donkey speaking to Balaam. I figured that out. Well, if God could use a donkey, I guess he could use me. Hallelujah. And I didn't use the King James language in that, for those that are sensitive. So here he is. So he's upset. Lo, these many years have I not been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat. I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, son of yours, not my brother. He ain't my brother no more. But the son of yours. Who has devoured your livelihood with harlots? You killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you've always were with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad for your brother. He was dead. He's alive again and was lost, but now he's found. Now, I want to ask you one last question. Okay. The son took off, the younger son. And after reading this story, whose responsibility was it to go ahead and get the younger brother? Was it the father's responsibility? Who? The older son's responsibility to go after the prodigal, to go after the lost, to go after those that have been in the house. Hallelujah. The older brothers. And you know what? We don't want to be like this older brother. But I want to say this. There's a lot of titles for the Lord Jesus. You know, the Good Shepherd. You know, Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. The bright morning star. You know, Lord, Savior, Son of God, Son of Man. I love all of those. But there was one I was never really comfortable with. When somebody would say, my older brother, Jesus. And I started to think about that. And after I got a little revelation into this, I looked at Romans chapter 29. We all know Romans 8:28, right? But 8:29. Romans 8:28 is a wonderful scripture. All things work together for good for those that love God are called according to his purposes. You know, that's the one where you say, man, it's all going to work out, you know, as I love God called us. But he says that I might be conformed to the image of the what? The firstborn. Conformed to the image of the firstborn. Who's the firstborn? Jesus. Who's the elder brother that left the father's house to come to rescue you as a prodigal? Who's the one that stepped out of the glory of God and put on humanity? Amen. To rescue you. To die for you. That you might have eternal life. Do you get that? Do you get that? He is the elder brother. Paul had that revelation. Amen. He was the perfect. He's the example of who we're to be. Conformed. We're to be conformed into his image. That he stepped out of glory. That we go out of our comfort zone. And into the world. To go ahead and rescue the prodigal, to minister to those that are lost, to try to, and if necessary, to die for them. You know, die to ourselves is what it is. Denying ourselves, picking up our cross, following him. I don't know about you, but it's important to be a witness. It's not so much doing witnessing, but being a witness. And being a witness means that you are prepared to share the gospel and to share the love of God. And before that can happen is you got to know God for yourself in a personal way. And you got to have that salvation experience that is so powerful that it means so much. Because listen, when I first got saved, I would not shut up about Jesus. I couldn't stop. I was overflowing. And because, I mean, I had a real encounter with God. Personally in my bedroom. And, you know, at first I was a little scared because I figured people thought I'd be nuts and lock me up in a, you know, a mental institution. because they thought I was crazy anyway, but, you know, because of the evil I was doing. But, you know, they say, like, oh, he found religion now, you know. But no, I didn't find anything. Jesus came after me. Jesus came after me. And I want to stir this church up because you've got something that's very precious here. You got something that's very real. And I got to tell you, it's in these pastors' hearts to reach the lost. I went to the Daily Grind yesterday, and I was with Dan, and I saw him bring person after person in to meet with us and talk with us, just different ones, and just being who he is, and we're standing there, and all the rest. And, you know, we got to pray with somebody that was leaving, you know. And, man, she was wide open. I don't know what her Christian background was. But you talk about an open book and gentle and, you know. And you'd be surprised if you ask, can I pray for you, you know, to different people. Most everybody will say yeah. I mean, they will really say yeah, you know. And they'll appreciate that. And you've got so much in this house. There's so many riches in this house. You know, if you give it away, amen, God will give you more. Amen. He'll give you more, and it'll increase. So I've got a free gift for you, and I need my wife to read this. Let me say, I'm going to challenge you here in a minute, but these crosses are little pocket crosses, you know, and they're hand-knit by a lady that I know, and she sends them to me by the hundreds. I've taken them all over the world and given them to different ministries and different ones. But I prayed for her. She had heart problems and, you know, different things were going on in her lungs. And I met her through my stepmom in Florida, and I prayed for her, and she got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, she was so on fire. And she's, you know, kind of homebound. She can't get out around very well. And she's in her 70s, and her health isn't really great. But her ministry, she hand-knits these crosses. And she prays, and this is what she does. And she just prays that they'll fall in the hands of somebody, you know, and different believers. And this ministry is unbelievable. It's fantastic what she's doing. So there's a little message in here. And I think it's important to read this. Because a lot of times, you know, you start thinking lucky charm or protection or some other kind of, you know, mumbo jumbo. But if you read this and other people read it, it'll, you know, it kind of puts things in a perspective. Oh, here.
I just want to add a tiny bit to the testimony. This lady, what's her first name? Peggy Castle. She was the most withdrawn little, she sounds, the first time I heard her on the phone, she sounded like a little 5-year-old girl, and she was probably in her 60s when I met her. And she was a maid at a nursing home, and after she was our mother-in-law led her to the Lord, and she had known her since she was a kid. She worked in this nursing home. She was so transformed after she got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit that the nursing home started asking her to come into the rooms of the patients when they were in their last hours of life. And then the families started acknowledging it, and whole families would get saved. The Spirit of the Lord would come into the room, and the person that probably didn't know the Lord came to Jesus. And she probably weighs like 100 pounds. She's the tiniest little shy lady, and she became just a figure in that nursing home and led so many people to the Lord. So this is the little cross that she made that we've used. It says, the cross in my pocket. I carry a cross in my pocket, a simple reminder to me of the fact that I'm a Christian no matter where I may be. It's not, this little cross isn't magic, nor is it a charm. It isn't meant to protect me from every physical harm. It's not for identification, for all the world to see. It's simply an understanding between my Savior and me. When I put my hand in my pocket to bring out a coin or a key, the cross is there to remind me of the price that he paid for me. It's precious. It's really simple.
Now, I believe the Lord told me to bring these, and I felt like this was the message that I needed to bring on a Sunday morning for the house. And I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to pray over these crosses. And I'm going to challenge you. We'll stand here in a minute. That you would take as many as you got faith for. But for each one, you take it before the Lord. You take them. And ask the Lord, who can I share, your love with? Who can I possibly share your love with?